What's up, my friend? Welcome to the Finding Direction podcast. My name is Stu Massengill, and I'm here every single week to bring you a passionate guest or message dedicated to helping you find your purpose so that you can live a life full of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for hanging out with me, and let's dive in. What's up, my friend? Welcome back to another episode here on Finding Direction. Thank you, as always, for hanging out with me today. And I hope as you journey through your day, whether you're listening to this in the morning or at night, in the evening, or as you're laying in bed, I hope you are having an outstanding day. And I hope something just magical happens in your life today. Maybe it's a coincidence. Maybe it's something you've been waiting for. But I am sending some energy into your life to have something magical happen today. So be on the lookout for that. And as we dive into this week's episode, we're going to be changing things up a little bit. And rather than bringing you a guest for me to interview, I wanted to change things up a little bit. We've been having a lot of new faces and new earballs on the podcast. And so I wanted to actually bring a different type of show to this week's episode. And what it's going to be is me being interviewed on a podcast that I was actually just very, very recently on. And it's from my buddy. His name is Zach Westerbeck. And it's on his podcast called the You're Not Alone podcast that is on mental health. It is an amazing show that he's launched within the last 4 months, really. And it started to take off. And I'm so happy for Zach. And to give you a little bit of a background, Zach and I actually met about a year ago when he was on my podcast. And after he came on the podcast, we were just very like-minded individuals of wanting to make a difference, wanting to make an impact. And so we started to collaborate. We basically, you know, we talk about it on the show, but we went to a coffee shop one day, exchanged all of the different strategies really that we both had in the different sectors we were in. And over the last year, it's turned into some unbelievable things in my life and also some unbelievable things in Zach's life. And one of the things it turned into in Zach's life was actually starting his podcast, the You're Not Alone podcast. And so I thought it would just be such a cool way to kind of introduce you, one, to Zach's show, You're Not Alone. If you want to check out mental health, highly recommend you go over there. And also, so you can hear a little bit of my journey and some of the things we dive into on this episode with Zach, is we go into my journey specifically, kind of how I navigated through the different things in my life, from cancer to feeling really lost in my life to building a business. And we talk about a system you can use in your own life if you're feeling lost right now. We talk about mental health and, you know, kind of a little bit of my journey in that and so many other things. So I know you're going to enjoy this episode. Again, if you are struggling with mental health or anything, or even if you're not, I encourage you, go listen to Zach's episode. Find him on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to shows. Go check him out. He is doing some unbelievable work in this world. So we're going to dive into this episode in just a moment. If you have not yet, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you can hang out with us every single week on the show to help you find your purpose and maximize living in it every single day. All right, my friend, here we go. I hope you enjoy this one.
Stu, thank you so much for coming on to the You're Not Alone podcast today, man. I'm super excited to have you on. I consider you a true and genuine friend of mine. It's funny, we met because of your podcast. So yeah, here we are, basically more or less a year to the date that we first met, now having you on my podcast, which this was all, in a lot of ways, you're doing. You were the one that was like, basically like, you should start your podcast earlier. Because I think I told you, I was like, this is going to be a decade goal of mine. And you were like, well, what if you made it a year goal? Like, what if you just started doing it this year? And I remember we sat down at Moon Goat Coffee in Costa Mesa, and we sort of did like a skill swap. And that still to this day, man, that was like one of the most valuable, just, that was a really productive, I think we spent 4 hours there, and it was just like, we were like 2 hours this, 2 hours that, and it was super just productive. And since then, I feel like our friendship has evolved well, way past that. But
totally.
I just want to give you the floor, man, to give a quick introduction of yourself to my audience.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, thank you for having me on the podcast. Truly an honor. And it is, I was just thinking about what you were saying. It probably is, I mean, we'd have to look it up, but probably close to a year to the day of when we first connected and you were on my podcast. And you know, so many good things to say about the relationship we've sort of built over the last year. But so again, thanks for having me. And a little bit about myself for the listener who's hanging out with us today is my name's Stu Massengill. I am a speaker. I do speaking for a guy named Tony Robbins, who, if you haven't heard the name Tony Robbins, he's, people call him like the GOAT of personal development, right? He's kind of like what Michael Jordan is to basketball. He's that for personal development. So I do speaking for him. And then I do some speaking of my own that is more geared towards the side of, you know, basically figuring out what you want to do with your life. I went through a chapter of my life, maybe we'll get into it, where I just felt extremely lost and purposeless, and kind of just felt like I was wandering and I had no idea what I wanted to do. And so once I started to figure that out, I now kind of help people through that same process that I went through. And then I have a podcast of my own called Finding Direction, right? All about finding direction.
Yes.
And then other than that, just a fun fact about me, I am a massive outdoor enthusiast. I'm a huge snowboarder. And yeah, that's a snippet about me. And then I'm in San Diego, California.
Yes. Formerly in Orange County. We lost you to San Diego, but you're definitely happier down there, it sounds like. So I'm stoked that you're down there, man.
Yeah.
So I'm actually curious, because when I was thinking about the episode, you're obviously, you interview people about finding purpose.
Yeah.
So you're an expert in that field.
Yeah.
But I was sort of thinking through, okay, well, what's the opposite of purpose? That's purposelessness. And what does purposelessness sort of mean to me? And I wrote down feeling lost. So I don't know if I know this story. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. Can you talk about the time when you were, like, that period of your life when you were super lost?
Yeah. So to give it sort of like a medium-sized story.
Yeah.
When I was 19 years old, I was going to San Diego State. That's where I went to college. And I was introduced to a company. It was a network marketing company. And I was really introduced to this idea of personal development, growth, doing something that you actually really enjoy centered around making an impact on others.
Yeah.
And I did that for about 4 years. And it was an incredible time of my life. I got to basically travel the world with some of my best friends, make great money, help a lot of people in the process. And, you know, kind of long story short, one day I got a call from my best friend that I was doing this with. And he called me up one day and he was basically like, Stu, everything in our life's going to change. He was like, the company that we're working with, we can no longer basically do what we're doing because things have changed in the company. And like, this chapter's over. And, yeah, you know, we talked for a little bit, hung up, and more or less I went from a place of just like doing something I really loved. I got to pour into people. I got to do a lot of speaking back then as well.
Yeah.
And helping people, to all of a sudden waking up one day, basically going like, why the heck am I here? What's my purpose? What am I supposed to be doing? And so for me, I just kind of roamed around for a while. You know, I took to traveling for a little bit. I was like, I'm going to find myself through traveling. And when I did that, a whole nother story, I ended up, you know, actually getting diagnosed with testicular cancer.
Yeah.
And then battled that for a bit. And then finally, after going through some health stuff, I really had a big shift. And this was probably the pivotal point. And it's funny, I was actually just thinking about this question earlier today, where I had a moment in my life where I realized I was obsessed with finding my purpose. Like, I was hyper-focused on asking myself 1,000 times a day, what's my purpose? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? And what I began to realize is that if every single day I'm asking myself, what's my purpose? Then that by default means that I don't have the very thing that I'm looking for.
Right.
Which is painful, right? It's like the one thing I'm searching for, by searching for it, it means I don't have it. So what I began to do is I began to flip this focus and question I was asking myself to basically like, if I had a purpose right now, what would that be? Like, how can I serve people? And when I began to shift my life from saying like, what is my purpose, to how could I live a purposeful life right now? That's when everything began to shift in my life. And that's really where it turned into me doing some of my own speaking events, me really sort of charting this chapter of my life, which started with my podcast, actually, because at first I realized, you know, I may not have all the tools that I need to find my direction and figure it out, but if I can go around and interview other people that have lived a rich life, and not financially, but emotionally, right? All those things, if I could pick their brain and figure out how they did it, I could learn how to do it. And in partnership, I could help a lot of other people that are going through the same stuff.
Yeah.
And then sort of like you alluded to, that led to, you know, 300 episodes that we've done now, a lot of cool people I've been able to meet, and now doing a lot of speaking on it as well. And so that's sort of the medium-sized story of, I guess, how I got to where I'm at today.
Yeah. So when you were at the network marketing company, were you asking yourself that question then too? Or did you feel like you were in something that was your purpose?
That's actually a really good question. I've never thought about that or been asked that. And I definitely was not asking it when I was in it.
Yeah.
When I was in it, it was like, I'm doing it. This is what I'm, it was just like a knowingness of like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. And it's a really interesting point that you bring up there, because by not asking myself and focusing on what's my purpose every day and just doing the thing that I was presently doing, it really brought a beautiful peace to my life.
Yeah. So you did, in a sense, then feel like you were in your purpose, more or less.
I was definitely in my purpose, but I wasn't focused on what is my purpose. I was just like, this is what I'm doing and I love it and it's enriching and I'm just going to do this.
Mm.
So the thing that's, you know, coming to my brain right now is it's like, I wasn't searching for something. And I think sometimes when you're always searching for what is the thing, unconsciously you're telling yourself that you don't have the thing. But if you can, if you can just let that go and say, I'm not searching for the thing, I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to be doing right now. Cause you know, life has these beautiful coincidences that happen, right? It's like, I'm a believer of you are where you're supposed to be. And I think if you can live in that energy of saying like, I'm at this moment in my life right now for a reason. So let me live in this moment and let me thrive in this moment.
Yeah.
Your life's going to be so much more enjoyable than if you're obsessed with what is the thing, because like we've said a few times, that's sort of self-sabotaging yourself.
I agree with that so like to such a high level, because I've experienced both.
Yeah.
And you can even be in your purpose. And you and I have talked about this. We're both living in our purpose.
Yeah.
But what happens is your brain adapts to your new norm. So there was a moment in time when you were quote unquote lost. There was a moment in time where I was quote unquote lost. I didn't know at all what my purpose was. And I want to unpack how people can sort of start to get unlost here in a second and what advice you have for them. But even when you do find your purpose, if you're progressing in that purpose, if you don't go about it in a healthy mentality, nothing is ever enough.
Yeah.
And that's basically what you're talking about. And the idea of I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be right now in my journey is such a beautiful, there's a piece about that. Even
there
when
is.
You just say that. And I don't want people to skip over that nugget, because that, to me, that is foundational to the whole process. Is like, I am where I'm at right now and I'm supposed to be here.
Yeah.
There might be something that I picture in my head, which is what we do as people, right? We picture...
Right.
I mean, we're both speakers, man. We've both seen Tony Robbins speak. We've seen what's possible.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy, he packs out arenas. Like, we now know that, like, at the pinnacle of speaking, you can pack out an arena and you can do that across the country. Like, that we know what's possible. You're even closer to Tony than I am, much closer. And so you even know what's possible. So when your brain starts daydreaming, my goodness, I bet you could see all sorts of things.
Yeah.
But that's where I think a lot of tension comes from, where what we see in our heads and what our reality is, if they're different, that creates conflict. But if you have this belief, I'm at where I'm supposed to be right now, and then you pair that with the mystery of life, which is the other thing that you said, the mystery of life of sometimes when you know you're on your path, maybe you don't know exactly where you're going, but you know you're on your path. You're at where you're supposed to be in that moment, but you also believe that what's coming for you is coming, hopefully in a positive light. I'm sure that we also can harbor fear.
Right.
And maybe you can talk about that too. It does. I mean, I've seen it in my own life, and that's why when you say that, it resonates with me so much. Doors opened. I had a conversation with a guy about labels, so I don't want to label myself because we all tend to do this. But
yeah,
if I had to give my resume right now, I'm a mental health advocate. That was never on my radar once in my entire life.
Yeah.
Was that something that I was aspiring to be when I grew up? I'm a podcast host. I mean, throughout the entire duration of my life up until a couple years ago, that was never a consideration.
Right.
I'm an author. I'm a speaker about mental health. Again, so like I say that all to say like these doors opened mysteriously.
Yeah.
I
think one thing to touch on too that's so important about what you talked about and like being in the present and enjoying where you're at and knowing where you're supposed to be is like one of the big things Tony talks about, and I'm a huge just advocate for, is this idea of happiness. Like I grew up and I would not have associated myself as a quote unquote happy person growing up. And I used to like watch speakers. And there's this one guy, Joseph McLennan III specifically, who he wrote a book, and I don't remember the exact name of the book, but it was like How to Be Happy. It was like something along those lines. And I never read the book, but I remember seeing that book once and just being like, damn, like I need that book because I'm just not a happy person. And it was probably, you know, 9-ish years ago, 7, 8, when I started to dive into personal development, that I finally realized, like, one, the superpower of being happy. And then two, and this is something I got from Tony, was like the actual formula to being happy. And it's a really, really basic formula, but it's very revealing when it comes to if we're happy in our life. And it's really simply a super simple, almost so simple, it's stupid equation. And it's LC equals BP. And all it means that when our life condition equals our blueprint of what it should look like we were speaking about, then we're happy. Right. So if we believe that we should be at a certain place in our career or at a certain place in a relationship or at a certain place in our health and our life condition looks like that, then we're happy. And if our life condition doesn't equal our blueprint, right? So if we're, you know, some age old and we think we're supposed to be making a certain amount of money or somewhere in our career and we're not there, then we're unhappy. And then where like depression comes is when life condition does not equal blueprint. And we believe that we cannot change it. So we go, this is what my life condition looks like. This is what it should look like. And there's nothing, like it's out of my control. It's never going to be like that. And that's when we can start to go into a place of, you know, really being unhappy. And so it's interesting being aware of that formula to just look at life and say, okay, if I'm not happy, do I need to change my life condition or do I need to change my blueprint? Right. And then we can start getting closer to happy in many different areas of our life.
So that's LC equals BP.
Yeah.
That is such an, and again, it's like, as you're talking about that, I'm applying that in my own life and you can feel the shift. You can literally feel the shift in real time. And that's, I think that's the beauty of what you were talking about, but it is such an important point that you made that if you do that equation, life condition does not equal blueprint.
Right.
And I don't believe that I can change it. I could, because that to me, that is the definition of helplessness and hopelessness.
Yeah.
And I've been in that place. And I know what the bottom of that feels like. It's deep depression and thoughts of suicide.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you start to think that you can't change your reality or change your situation, that is that your brain just immediately defaults to that because our brain's number one function is survival. That's what it's hardwired for. So if, and it, a big part of survival is control, or at least the perceived idea that you can have control over your environment.
Yeah.
So it makes so much sense to me, like so much sense, even just on my own, based on my own experience. That equation's amazing, man. I've never heard that equation. And I got into personal development. I mean, you said about 8, 9, 10, somewhere in that range. And that was, for me, it was right out of college is when I started.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, like you said, and I know we're going sort of in the left side rabbit hole, but it's like when you put yourself in this place of, you know, helplessness or hopelessness, it's like your brain literally shuts off.
Yes.
And our brain's a supercomputer. Like we can do tremendous, unbelievable things. Our brain can, if we sort of pre-frame it in the right way. Like when I was diagnosed with testicular cancer, you know, 6 years ago or so, you look at life condition does not equal blueprint. For me, I was never going through my life going, I'm going to be 25 diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah.
But I think if we take that as an example, like, was there some things I can control? Sort of. You know, I could eat healthy. I could take care of my body. But one thing that was so powerful for me is when I went through that whole process, I never allowed myself to go, life condition doesn't equal blueprint and I can't change it. I went, my life condition does not equal my blueprint. I did not plan to get cancer. But mentally, I put myself in such a place of positive outlooks of, this is going to be okay. I'm going to get through this. This is happening for a reason that I'll find out at a later date. And because I was so convinced, basically I convinced myself that I could mentally change what was going on. And I'm a big believer that, that's a huge part of what helped me through that journey. And it's like, sometimes we go, okay, well, I can't go in and like change this cancer. Like I couldn't change it, but I convinced myself that I mentally could. And I think that even if sometimes we're in places where we feel like we can't control what's going on, we have to really do like mindset work. We have to get in our head and go, okay, how can I start to turn on this supercomputer I have so I can find ways to get to the other side of whatever it is that I'm going through?
Yeah. And the thought that comes to mind for me, because it was the exact same thing for me, is that there's a process for recovery, and then there's the actual process, and then there's the mindsets that go around that. And yeah, those mindsets are, from what I've seen in my experience, the healthy mindsets that it took for me to get through recovery are the same ones that apply for basically every aspect of life, because it was the same for me. Yeah. My life condition was, snap of a finger, the onset of a chronic brain disorder. Did not have that on the radar.
Yeah.
That wasn't the plan. Yeah. Yeah. That wasn't the plan. I mean, gosh, yeah. It was so opposite of my life blueprint that for months I was in, and this is normal for the onset of one of the more severe brain disorders. But this can happen to anybody in an instant. The loss of a loved one, divorce, a breakup, some natural disaster, some sort of death, whatever it might be. These yeah. things that happen in a blink of an eye that don't match our blueprint. They're our life condition now, but maybe we didn't choose it. We might not be happy about it. And it certainly doesn't match our blueprint. And I've sat in that helplessness.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess this is just who I am and what the reality is for the rest of my life. I guess there's nothing I can do. And that's why I'm so glad that we're hammering this home, because to everybody listening, if you don't hear it from Stu, like, he's giving you life condition equals blueprint, and you can change the mentality. But I can also tell you the other side, because he had the resilience to create a mindset right off the bat to combat that. I didn't. So I can tell you right now, I know what it feels like to sit in life condition doesn't equal blueprint, and I don't feel that I can control or change the situation. And the moment that that happens, y'all, I'll just say it gets dark quick.
Yeah.
I mean, real fast. Almost amazing how fast it goes. So that equation in and of itself, I just think that was, if people don't take anything else from the episode, man, that is huge.
For real.
That's huge. So what does somebody do if they're feeling lost? Like, what is your advice to them? Where do they start? What does the start of that process look like?
So I think one major starting piece to it is the standard that you have for your life. And this doesn't get into, you know, the technicals, and we'll go through some of that as well, as far as like processes you can go through to sort of get on a path. But I think really where it starts is having a standard for your life of what you're willing to settle for. Because if you go through life and you go, you know what, it's okay to, you know, go through life and not really enjoy it, and that it's just your job, like, you know, it's okay, that's you just go through life that way. If that's the standard, then you're not going to actually find something that really fills you up, right? But if you say, the standard that I have for my life is, there are literally millions of opportunities in the world, and there is something that can light me up every day where I get excited, I jump out of bed, like, that thing exists, and I'm not willing to settle until I find that. And if you have that standard for your life, you will find it. Right? Absolutely. Now, once you have that standard, the next part it comes to, and I always share with people, is it's like the first thing we have to do when we're feeling lost is you have to give yourself some sort of target, right? Because, for example, when I went through my own journey and I started to get lost, for me, and I think for so many people that I talk to today, it's like we get in this sense of overwhelm, right? Where it's like there's, like, just like I said, a million different things I could do. How the hell am I supposed to know which one I'm supposed to do? It's like, right. It's this overwhelm of feeling like we're in an ocean. We have no idea what direction to swim. And that overwhelm can sometimes paralyze us and going, man, there's so many things, you know what? I'll just go apply for this job because, like, I need a job. And what you want to understand is that although there are a lot of things out there that you can do, if you look internal, rather than external, rather than what would make my parents proud, rather than what would make my friends think I'm doing something cool, rather than, you know, what's everybody else doing, like, rather than looking at it through that lens, if we start to go internal and say, what are some of the things that actually bring me joy in my life? Right? Yeah. What are some of the things that when I do them, like, time flies? What are some of the things that I've always been attracted to throughout my life, right? Or what are some of the things that I am currently curious about in my life right now? And if we ask ourselves those four questions and, you know, other questions that are similar to that, what you'll start to realize is that if you look internally at this idea of finding what's next, there's probably 4, 5, 6 things that you will start to come up with as far as things you've been drawn towards, things that increase your energy, things that make time fly, things that are that you're curious about, that if you really look at it, there's not that many of those things. And so once you begin to narrow it down to, you know, let's say 5, 6 things. You go, I've always loved sports. Maybe that's one thing for someone. They go, I've always loved snowboarding as well. I've always loved talking to people. I've always loved traveling. Like, whatever those things are that you've always loved, you want to start by getting those 4 or 5 things down. So for anyone listening to this, if you're feeling lost, I would suggest, honestly, pause the audio right now. Go replay those questions a few times and give yourself 5, 6, 7 answers to those. Now, once you get those sort of 7, let's say, topics, 7 interests that you have, the next thing you want to start to do is turn them into actual companies. And all that looks like is, let's say, for example, that action sports is something that I had an interest in, this to go into my own story. So I looked at, okay, who are like 4 or 5 companies in the action sports world that I think would be like beyond epic to partner up with, right? Yeah. Partner up with, AKA, like, work for them. And then you want to start to build that list, right? So if you go, I love action sports, you go, okay, let's say Patagonia is a company, Vans is a company, Volcom's a company, 686 and GNU, right? The last two are more or less snowboard companies. But if you start to build a list of the companies, then what you want to do next is, in my opinion, start to leverage your network. You know, similar to you, I go speak at colleges, and again, a big part of that is from your help. So thank you back.
Of course.
You know, for that 1 4-hour meeting we spoke about.
Abundance mindset, bro. We're all in this together.
Abundance. But it's crazy. Like, I'll go into a room. I was just at San Diego State last week, and we had a room of 100 people, and we pulled one kid out of the audience, and we took him through this process. And eventually he got to the company, I think it was Ford, that he was like, I love cars. And we got him to pick a company. He's like, Ford. And in a room of 100 people, we said, hey, who in this room knows someone that works for Ford or knows someone associated with that company? And 4 kids raised their hand.
That's so incredible, like, man.
It's crazy.
That's so awesome.
And I've done it in room after room. And there's always, knock on wood, I'm sure one day it won't happen, but there's always 1 or 2 people in the room that go, I know someone in that company. And so what's interesting is, if we have an idea of the companies we want to work for and we start asking people this one question, and I swear if you ask this one question over and over, you can more or less, with maybe some other skills, but this one being the start, pretty much open any door that you want. And the question is this: who do you know? It's such a simple question, but if you go and say, okay, these are the 5 companies I want to work for in the action sports industry, and you literally just go around and ask everybody and anybody you know, hey, who do you know in or around the action sports world?
Yeah.
Someone is going to know someone. And so I would say that's sort of the first couple steps, if someone's feeling lost, to get themselves on the path to doing something they're excited about and keep it in a simple manner. So get your 7 interests. turn them into companies. And then once you figure out which one you want to start with, start asking people who you know, get an introduction, and then that's how you sort of get your foot in the door. If there's one last thing I'd add to that, not to make it too complicated,
yeah,
but it's just when
we'll
you
recap
get
this too.
Yeah, is when you get the introduction, make sure you start by adding value. So don't go to that person you get an introduction to at Ford, for example, and say, hey, can you get me a job? Can you get me an internship? Like, reach out, get connected, introduce to them, and then say, hey, can I do anything for you? Can I volunteer for you? Can I buy you lunch and pick your brain? Can I, like, anything? Can I donate my time to just be of value? And when you approach an introduction in that way, people are going to be more inclined to help you, because so many people go to this something like that and they try to take, they say, like, what can you do for me? The reality to networking effectively is ask the other person, what can I do for you? And if you do that, doors will be open for you.
This was so tangible and so valuable. I have the steps written down. So for everyone listening, it's too good. So step one is write down your seven interests. What would be, I know people could pause it and go back and play it. What would be like the number one question somebody would ask for step one and they're trying to figure out their seven interests? I know you rattled off like four or five, but
I would say the number one is, what have I always been attracted to in my life?
What have I always been attracted to?
Attracted to or drawn to.
Okay. Which that, I mean, I feel like that's a question that I could just off the top. And what do you say to the person who's like, well, I wrote down sports. Like, that feels really vague.
Yeah.
What would you do next?
Yeah. So I think a huge part, and I love that you brought this up, is as you go throughout this process, you need to take the analytical part of your brain out. Right? Where it's like, okay, what would I love? I love sports. And then your analytical brain starts to come in and goes, you couldn't do something in sports. You weren't training this. You don't. And that part starts to come in, but you have to take that analytical part out. So if you say sports, it's starting to ask yourself, okay, what in sports would you want to do? What sport would you want to be a part of?
Yeah.
Right. And then let's say you go football, right? It's like, now when you say football, you go start asking everybody and anybody around you, who do you know in or around the NFL? Like, I had a someone that came to the talk at AFLV where you and I were both speaking.
Yeah.
And I touched base with him, you know, 5 months later when I came out to their school. And he told me that he took some of the stuff we talked about, just similar stuff to what we talked about now. He applied it and he ended up getting an internship to work for the Arizona Cardinals. And now they're going to offer him a job. They're bringing him to the Super Bowl because the Super Bowl is there this year. And it was, and for him, it was literally the exact process you're talking about. His interest, he was like, sports. He's like, I love football. And then all of a sudden he started to go, wait, my mom knows this lady who's like involved in the sports. Let me reach out to her. And he literally bought her lunch. He added value. And then he ultimately ended up getting the internship.
That's beautiful, man. That's awesome. Right? That's awesome. That's really cool, Stu. Man, that feels so good as a speaker too, when your words actually drive somebody to action.
Yeah, people take it and they start using it, right? Because you and I both know knowledge is not power, it's potential power, right? For everyone listening to this, you could hear these things and go, man, that's, I really feel solid on how to be unlost. But the reality is, if you want to not just feel unlost, but if you want to not be lost, you need to take the things we're talking about right now and actually go apply them. Right?
Yeah. Has anyone ever been like, well, I don't know what I like? When you ask that question, what have you always been attracted to?
I think what happens there is the analytical brain comes in too much.
Okay.
It's your analytical brain going, okay, I like paintball, but like, how the hell is that? Like, yeah, I'm not going to be a professional paintballer. Like,
yeah,
you know, and the analytical brain comes in. So, you know, and if someone goes, I don't know what I'm interested in, ask yourself again, what are something I'm curious about? You know, what's something that when I do it, time flies? What's something that raises my energy when I do it? What's something, like, there's all these different questions you can look at, right? Okay. To sort of pull it out, that are different ways of asking a similar question.
Okay, that's helpful. And then step two is turn them into a company. Somebody could easily Google football companies, to use the football example, and Google would populate hundreds of options and you could just write them down. And then for the who do you know, how does somebody start to tap into their network? What's sort of the simple process there?
Yeah. So I would say one thing that I think most people don't leverage, but it's one of the biggest superpowers that people have, is something called your weak tie relationships. In a sense, there's these two things called strong tie relationships, weak ties. Strong ties are like your best friends. And so when it comes to networking, one of the things we think about is like, okay, who is, you know, I got my parents, my siblings, my best friends from college and growing up. Let me go ask those people, right? And those are the people we think to start asking, who do you know and networking with? But what studies have shown is the people that are acquaintances are actually the people that go on to change our life and open doors for us. So it's your friend's mom's friend that you like met once and you don't really know her, but you know her. It's the kid you played soccer with in third grade that you don't keep in touch, but like, you know of each other. So we need to, when we go into this process of networking, stop saying, who do I know really well that would help me? We need to say, who do I barely sort of know that I could just add value to?
Yeah.
Through volunteering, buying lunch, buying coffee.
Yep.
So I would say that's a few ways that you can look at it. And obviously, if you're going to school, you know, a huge way to build sort of your weak tie relationships is everybody and anybody that ever went to your school, right? It's like the alumni of your school are a weak tie. You have that connection there, that bond. So I would say it's like, give yourself a 10-minute exercise. So we go back, find your interests, find the, you know, companies that relate to that, and give yourself a 10-minute exercise when you have, let's say, let's keep this simple. Okay, let's say you have all those interests. Take three of the interests. Turn three interests into six companies.
So right? Two for each.
Yeah, two for each. And then just spend 10 minutes brainstorming on, who do I know in or around this company?
Yeah.
And if you want to take it one step even backwards, just look at the three interests and then ask yourself, who do I know in or around these interests? And you will be mind blown how, again, talking about earlier, our brain is a supercomputer. When you start to really sit down and say, who do I know in or around this industry? Your brain will go, oh my God, I totally forgot. I know that lady who knows this guy. And like, she works for that company, right? Yeah. It's like when we give our brain, our supercomputer, the power of focus, it'll start pulling things out of our unconscious, I guess we could say, that will blow our mind. So I would just say, for anybody, get three interests and set a timer for 10 minutes and just say, who do I know in or around this space? And you're going to start to come up with some people.
Okay.
And then reach out to them.
What do you, and then what say you to the money side of things? How much does money play a factor in purpose? Because I know that there are going to be people that I know it's the analytical brain, and I know you're saying shut it off, but some people are going to really struggle to separate money from whatever they choose to do. Even if they, to use the example of like pogo sticking, I really love to pogo stick and paintball. Like, that's what I love to do. There's just no money in it whatsoever, Stu. Like, I just can't get past that. What do you say to that?
Yeah. So I would say, as you go through all this process, you have to weigh out like pros and cons like you would anything in life, right? If you have three interests and you're going, one's pogo sticking and one is the NFL, like, there may be more opportunities in the NFL. So maybe you swing that way. But another thing that I would ask people, and you know, this is one of the big things Gary Vee talks about. I know both of you and I, you know, follow some of the stuff he does, but it's like, would you rather make $100,000 and hate what you do, or would you rather make $60,000 and actually be like stoked for what you do? And I think one thing that's interesting is, if initially we don't say, okay, I need to follow the money, and initially we just follow this like passion that we have, you're innately going to get better at that thing.
Yeah.
Right. And when you get better at it, AKA you become more valuable, you will attract more income to you because you're more valuable to the marketplace. Like, one of the most powerful things someone once told me when it comes to money is, it's like, we're never paid for time, ever. You're never paid for time in your job, in your career, in your life. You are paid for the value that you add to the marketplace. So if you love pogo sticking and you can find a way to add massive value to the pogo sticking industry, you will make more income because you're adding value. Like, the amount of income you make is a direct correlation to the amount of value that you're providing to the ecosystem.
Yeah.
So I think people need to start to look at it through that lens. Is like, whatever the interest is, how can you add more value to that place? And initially, maybe it's not a huge income initially, but if you follow that passion, that drive, you're going to get better. You're going to become more valuable. And then you can start to take that to increase the income.
It's, I mean, that, and for some people that might just sound like fluff and nice to hear, but I can back up what Stu is saying, even from a monetary standpoint. I started in this career part-time in 2018, just had a passion for it.
Yeah.
And you know the story, Stu. And a couple years later had built up enough clients to make it full-time job. And then even as a full-time job, getting better as a skill, adding more to the business because it's exciting to me. Like, I literally could not wait to have this podcast episode with you. And the business has evolved and I am adding more value to the marketplace than I was back end of 2022 here. I'm adding way more value to the marketplace from a mental health standpoint, which is my interest, to use your example. I did find a company that initially took me on. I then split off and created my own company, but it did sort of start with a who do you know. And it was all around adding value first. My first mentor in the space, he added value to me. I also added value to him.
Yeah.
Because he was, for every speaking engagement I got paid for, he was also making a percentage as well. So there was value going both directions. And then to use the skill set example, I've been doing this now for 5 years with a lot of passion, using my weekends, my vacations.
Yeah.
And so there's a bit of sacrifice for people listening. You know, it doesn't just pop up overnight, but it does. It to your example, it really does work like that. Like, the more value that you add to the marketplace, typically the dollars tend to follow. So, you know, using the pogo stick example, like, if you're that person right now and you're like, well, I had doubts about it, who knows? I mean, you could always do the hybrid model. I mean, that's what I did for years. And it's just, you work a job because it's what pays the bills and puts food on the table while you work on your passion on the side, nights and weekends. I mean, that's what I did, mornings, nights and weekends. And it doesn't have to be every night or every morning or every weekend. I would advocate for a little bit of balance, but like, that does work, man. So gosh, everything that you've said today, I just feel not only very credible, but it's tangible, simple actions. Because I see the formula in this, and I also see the life condition equals blueprint formula as well, and how that can tip both ways. So the first part of all of this is, if you're looking at your life condition and it's separate from where you want to be, the very first thing is convincing yourself that you are in control of changing that situation. What is a helpful mindset for that, Stu?
So the question is, what's a helpful mindset to start to get in control?
Because I would, like, I could see how somebody could fall into that hopeless helplessness trap and get stuck there. How does somebody get that moment of awareness and then start to cultivate a mindset that helps them feel like they are in control of their situation and they can make changes? Is there anything in particular?
Yeah. So I'll share just sort of like a quick story for when this first happened to me.
Yeah.
Cause I kind of, to give a little further my background, I grew up as, like, you know, more or less someone that associated himself as like a shy person, more of like the quiet person you were talking about labeling earlier. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's somewhat of what I labeled myself as. And I was just like, okay, like, my parents, my brother, they're really good at like communicators. And I'm the one in the family who's just not.
Yeah.
And I kind of grew up always thinking that through my life. And at one point, I had a mentor in my life who was really, really good with people.
Yeah.
And I was so committed to growing myself that it sounds weird, but I would like follow him around and just look at like, what is he doing? What is he saying?
Yeah.
How is he interacting with people? Just so I could learn from him. And at some point, something clicked in my brain. And it was that when he was born, the doctor didn't pull him into this world and go, oh my God, this guy is going to be a great talker. He's going to be a great communicator. And then when the doctor pulled me into the world, was like, oh, this little kid's going to be shy. Like, that never happened. We both came into the earth the same way, naked, scared, and crying. Right? Mm. We both came into the earth that way. And at some point, we had experiences in our life that shaped who we believed we were.
Belief being that the was key word there, people. Sorry, not to cut you off, but belief is such an important word there. Sorry, keep going. I'm so locked in on this story, but you started to believe something. So
that I was that person. And when I was watching him and that sort of clicked in my mind, what began to click for me is we were both born the same way, naked, scared, and crying. And it wasn't that this other person, you know, just had this thing that like I could never get. It's just that he worked harder on gaining the skills of being better at communicating and being good with people. And if I spent time working on that, that I could get equally as good. And so for me, what really happened in that moment is I went from, and I think we maybe actually spoke about this when you were on my podcast, but I went from being in a fixed mindset of this is the way it is. It's yes. black or white. I'm not good at this. I'm good at this. To all of a sudden go into a growth mindset of I'm not good at this right now, but if I put time, effort, and energy, I can actually get good at this. And I think another thing for people to sort of switch that mindset of saying I am in control is ask yourself right now, like, has there ever been someone in a similar situation to you that found a way? Has there ever been someone in a similar place to where you are currently at in your life right now, and somehow they got to the other side of where you're trying to go? And I would say 99 out of 100 times, if not 100 out of 100, the answer is yes. Yeah. There's someone that's been in your situation that found a way to get to the other side. And if somebody else has done it, then you can do it. You know what I mean?
I mean, I 100% do. What I can't help but think about, knowing how trauma works in the brain, is the person who has never received love and doesn't know, doesn't have that security blanket behind them. Because we've talked about this. We both come from good families where we received lots of love, where we felt comfortable experimenting.
Yeah.
And that's the one, because this is the formula, right? Because it really is that, right? It's things are not fixed. And if you look at them as fixed, and I can give you two examples. One of my best friends from growing up, him and I just reconnected after a couple months of maybe closer to a year of not talking, not like anything was wrong. We were just busy with different things in our lives. And I'm not going to air out his entire story, but he had been in a really dark place for a lot of years. And what we unpack, and now he's in a different place, because we saw each other in person, and it like brings tears to my eyes. Yeah. He almost made me cry when we were talking, because what he started to realize and what changed for him was he was carrying around this belief system, which is why I wanted to highlight what you said, because it's so important. Every human being is carrying around belief systems about who we are and our worth and our value and what skills we have and what we don't have and what we can do and what we can't do. We're carrying around these belief systems all the time.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different things that shapes it, which is why I want to bring awareness to the person who maybe is listening to this and you've never felt love in your entire life. You've never been told by another human being that you matter and that you're valuable and that you have skills. I want you to know that we see you right now. Yeah. We hear you, but you don't need to believe that narrative. You do have worth and you do matter. So I want to start there. But he was carrying around this belief system that he was just a depressed person that would always feel that way. There was nothing that he could do to change it, because the neuroscience, by the way, he backed it with science, which was the interesting thing for me. Cool. And because of the neuroscience, his brain was just fixed and there was nothing he could do to change it. So immediately you talk about the life condition equals blueprint. His brain immediately went to, well, you might as well just take your life. You can't change anything. This is just what it's going to be. And then it was a spiral off of belief systems. Well, you're always going to be a depressed person, which means you're never going to show up with good energy, which means you're never going to be able to show up to a job or find an interest or find a passion and do what you want to do. And so he spiraled to this point where he was like, I remember we would have conversations in the past and he'd be like, if it gets too dark, man, I think I might just wrap it up. I'd be like, what do you mean wrap it up? And he'd be like, Zach, we're boys, you know what I mean. And I remember begging him to like at least just call me before you're about to make that attempt. But what changed is he recognized these belief systems that he carried around, and he decided that every single day, just one day at a time, not a week, a month, a year, that he was going to change his life drastically forever. Just that he was going to wake up every single day and try to change his belief, try to prove his belief system wrong just that day. And that he could do great that day. Yeah. He could fall back into old habits, there would be a bit of grace and forgiveness, and he would just wake up and try again the next day. And where he's at in his life now compared to a couple years ago is unbelievable. Yeah. But it gets back to what you were saying about that, and you can hear the passion in my voice, man, because you really hit on something big.
Yeah.
Big. That sometimes when we're feeling lost and we're stuck, a big part of it is this belief system, conscious or unconscious. Like, we don't know that we're carrying it around, and it's guiding all of our actions. I'll give you another example. Got it, landed in New York, was in my Uber into the city, and this guy, this conversation happens everywhere. Oh, you're a mental health advocate. So are you like a therapist or something? No, I'm not licensed. Okay, well, I'm going to tell you my life anyways. And so and of course he told me his big thing was, you know, what makes me sad is that I just can't stop eating food. And we started to unpack that and his relationship with food. And underneath it all, after, because it was about a 45-minute drive into the city, the last 15 minutes was us uncovering the fact that he had this belief system that he would always be fat, that he could not get skinny, that he was incapable of getting skinny, so why even try? And so that every action that he did in his life was operating from the belief system of, I could never get skinny, why even bother?
Yep.
So I know I just popped off on a tangent, but I just think what you said, man, is so important. And until you unpack that unhelpful belief system, you will stay fixed.
Yeah.
But and once you do,
No, go ahead.
Well, just once you unpack it, you can then say, okay, is this mindset, is this belief system helping or hurting me? More than likely, you're going to say, it's hurting me. Okay, how can I change it? And that's when you get into the growth mindset like you were talking about.
Yeah. And I think something to just continue on what you're saying, and also kudos to your buddy. Like, I want to give him an energetic hug right now, right?
For, brings tears to my eyes of joy, bro. It's amazing.
It's beautiful. And one thing I think for everybody listening to this, that's really going through something tough, is letting yourself first and foremost know that, like, you are not this belief system that you have. Like, you're not that. Yes, it may be a pattern and a habit that you've learned in your life. You become habituated to this belief system, but it's not who you are at the core. It's not who you are. You were not born depressed. You were not born anxious. You were not born in that sense. It's a habit and a pattern that you've learned. And I think, you know, if we're going through something tough, if we can start to disassociate and disattach ourselves from this is me to, oh no, this is just a pattern and a habit. This is something I've learned. If we can get ourselves in that frame of mind, then that can also get us in this place of saying, okay, like, this isn't me. It's something that I have. It's like something I've learned. But that gives us a little bit more power to start to be able to change it.
Yes. I completely agree, man. I completely agree. It's and it's so important too. It's so important because what you're basically saying is once you start to look at it as a series of patterns or behaviors, it brings you back to control.
Yeah. For the person that's listening to this is going through something tough, just to speak to you directly for a moment, it's like, I really hope you hear that you are not this thing that you're going through. Like,
totally.
It's something you've learned. It's something maybe you've sought some sort of connection to, but it's not you. And once you begin to realize that this is not you, it's a habit, it's a pattern you have, then you can start to do some things to be in control, right? To change it.
Totally. Totally. There is a path out. So this has been an awesome episode, man. Can we recap everything so that people have a succinct, because there was some mindsets there, which is what we talked about. And the big thing that you talked about, the biggest mindset being recognizing the belief system.
Yeah.
And then transitioning from a fixed mindset where you're either one way or another to a growth mindset, which is, I might not be there today, but I can be there through the process over time. So that's sort of step number one, right? Which is like getting into a growth mindset of identifying the belief systems that might be holding you back and then getting into the growth mindset. And then what else would you add?
Yeah. So to recap, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. I think it's one And I think such a big thing, you know, to kind of look at this recap is just the idea of happiness, right? And asking yourself, are you happy? Do you want to be happy? And like really taking a deep dive into that formula. And I mentioned before, like, I didn't grow up as someone being happy. Today, I would 10 out of 10 identify myself as someone who is ridiculously happy, because it's a behavior that I've learned. It's a new habit. It's a new pattern that I've adapted now. I'm a happy person. So it's understanding that formula, I think, is huge, because even if you have a purpose, even if you feel lost, even if you're going after huge goals, little goals, like at the end of the day, whatever you're going through, you can choose to be happy as you go through it, or you can choose not to. And if you choose to be happy as you go through the process and the journey of your life, I mean, this sounds obvious, but it's like life is more enjoyable because you've made that decision first. Like someone once told it to me this, and I was like, yes. And they said, don't achieve to be happy, but happily achieve. Like sometimes we go, when I do this, then I'm going to feel happy. When I do this, I'm going to feel accepted. When I do this, I'm going to feel like enough. The reality is when you achieve that thing, you're the person that then decides I get to be happy. And what a lot of people find out is they get there and they go, I don't feel any different, right? It's because you still haven't given yourself permission to start having those things that you wanted, whether it was the happiness, the acceptance, the being enough. So my whole thought, you know, as we look at this part of the recap is, it's like, if you're the one determining if you're going to be happy or not, why not determine to be happy now? You can use that equation to do it rather than waiting till you get to some place to be happy. So I think that's probably one of the biggest things as we look at the recap. Just look at that formula, take a deep dive into it. And then to get real clear on your purpose, it's going through those steps we spoke about, right? So what are your 5 to 7 interests? What are a few companies that are maybe in that space? And who do you know in those spaces, whether they're people you're really close with or not as close with? Start asking them, hey, who do you know in or around this space? Find a way to add value, and then go from there.
And just be in love with the process.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying. Yeah. So go through that and be in love with the process of that unfolding.
Yeah. And I think that, man, you know, one last thing too, is just like give yourself grace through the process. You know, I think sometimes in life, we're our biggest critic and we can be so hard on ourselves, right? It's like, I should be here. I should be doing this. I should be happier. I should be X, Y, Z. And it's like, sometimes we just need to give ourselves grace and be like, damn, like I'm here. I woke up, like I'm breathing, my heart's beating. Like sometimes we just need to give ourselves a little bit of grace and a little bit of love. Even if we're not quite where we want to be, it's like you've probably done some pretty awesome things, big or small, that have got you to where you're at today. And you're listening to a freaking awesome podcast with Zach. So give yourself some more grace for that.
Well, I'm just grateful to bring on awesome guests like you, man. This has got me freaking fired up. And my wife and I are getting ready to go do a workout here in a minute. So I got some energy. So where can people find you and stay connected?
I would say best places, if you want to hang out on our podcast, it's called Finding Direction. We're everywhere and anywhere. So you can go check us out there. Obviously, we have a podcast with you as well, so people can check that out if they want to. And then the other place would just be social media. I'm Stu Massengill on there. It's Stu Massengill on social. So if you want to hang out there, and if anybody has questions or anything I can do to support you, truly, please feel free to reach out. Don't be a stranger, and happy to help in any way that I can.
For sure, man. And then as a final, I feel like you've given a lot of solid advice today, but is there any piece of advice that you would give someone right now at the start of their mental health journey?
I would just say, fall in love with yourself. You know, you're the only person you'll spend the rest of your life with. And sometimes in life we can spend so much time, you know, what do I want to do in my career? What do I want to do in this, that, the other? But the reality is, like, the only thing that's guaranteed that you'll do for the rest of your life is be with yourself 24/7, 365. So I would say for anyone listening to this, like, have the courage to take a deep dive into yourself. And it's something that can be freaking scary, I'll say, because I don't want to say the full F word, but it can be scary to get to know yourself and fall in love with yourself. Like, over the last 10 years, I've taken a deep dive into my mind, and I've gone into some places that have made me cry. I've gone into some places that have like just dropped me to my knees. But I've gone through stuff that have made me love myself and had an appreciation for myself. And, you know, that work's allowed me to be able to look in the mirror now and go like, damn, I love that person. And it's myself. And it's because I've been willing to take a deep dive into myself. And for whoever's listening to this, like, obviously do it with someone professionally, right? Like, you know, take the deep dive, you know, yes, read books, do those things, go on YouTube, whatever it is, if you want to do stuff for free as well. But the biggest thing I would just say is like, have the courage to really get to know yourself and fall in love with yourself. Because if you're willing to do that, and yes, it takes work. Yes, it may be hard at points. Yes, it may be scary at points. Mm. Your life is going to be so much more beautiful and rich and healthy because you were really willing to get to know who you are. And I think what everyone will find out who's willing to go through that process is that at the core, you are a, I want to say the F word, but I won't, but it's like, you are a freaking unbelievable human being at your core, in your essence, in your spirit. And when you go through the deep work that you need to really fall in love with yourself, and you eventually come to that understanding of like, God damn, like, I'm a beautiful human because I'm here and I'm breathing and I've been lucky enough to get a chance at this thing called life. It'll make your life unbelievable. So that would just be my last message, is have the courage to fall in love with yourself.
Mm, I love that, man. I think that's important. That's definitely a process and it takes time, but
yeah,
it's a beautiful thing when you start to fall in love with who you are, all parts of yourself.
Yeah.
So appreciate you coming on the show, my friend.
Yeah.
Bringing great energy, so much good information, tangible stuff too, things that people can really pause this, use it as they go. And definitely going to have to bring you on for more. You got me freaking fired up. And
let's go, man.
Yeah, life is a beautiful thing, man. So I appreciate you coming on, Stu. And we will have many, many more conversations like this.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, brother. Massively appreciate it. And thank you for everybody listening. I appreciate you as well.
Awesome.
Congratulations, my friend, on crushing it through another episode here on Finding Direction. Make sure you give yourself a pat on the back, a round of applause, because you are one of the few who is not willing to settle for less than a life that lights up your soul, and that is absolutely something worth celebrating. I hope you got so much value from that episode. I hope you got to know my journey a little bit more. And more importantly, I hope you take some things from it and start applying them to your life so you can increase the quality and the happiness and the passion and fulfillment that you have in your life as well. If you enjoyed this episode, I would be so, so, so grateful if you would go to the iTunes store and leave us just a really, really quick review. This month, as you may have heard on some of our solo episodes, we're doing something called the 200 by 30 challenge. And basically, if you leave a review, you get a chance to have your review read out loud on our solo episode. So if you enjoyed the show, go leave one. We want to make sure we can get to 200 reviews by the February 12th. So if you want to get there, want to help us get there, and want to get a chance to have your review read out loud, go there right now, leave us a review, and that's how we make the show better, get better guests, and make sure that we ultimately create a better experience for you. So thank you so much for hanging out today, my friend. I hope you have a beautiful, blessed, outstanding remainder of your day. And I will talk to you soon, my friend. Take care.